hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. And I say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says to the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.
There you go. Is that, oh yeah. That's his, that's Reese. He will be receiving a third grade Bible at the next service. He also is my carpool partner, so I get to hear all about his Halloween costumes and music taste 2 days a week. He's very sweet. Well, what should have promised Ezekiel security ended up causing his exodus. Ezekiel was born into a long line of priests, of prominent priests. And so after the domination of the Babylonians and the first rebellion of the king, he was booted out and taken to Babylon. They wanted to keep a close eye on him, the king that had rebelled, his family members that had power. And Ezekiel, having done everything to become a priest, suddenly welcomed into his life the call to be a prophet. And over again, after his first vision at 30, he begins to tell the story of the destruction that is unfolding in the place he can no longer be. And he is angry. He is hurting, he is traumatized, and his stories are blame-filled and shame-swallowed and dumped out over a people that are already crying out in pain, and Jerusalem falls. And Ezekiel becomes more angry and enraged at the people who caused this, his people, who have upset the God that rules all over every other God, and surely, if God is all-powerful, it must be the people's fault for causing God to do this. And one day, Ezekiel loses his wife, who he loves very much. And the story is told to us that he does not weep, nor does he mourn, because he does not feel as though he deserves to have such emotional expression in the midst of so much hardship. And in his mourning that is slow and invisible, that I imagine is eating him alive, God takes his hand out of the years of sadness and trauma and leads him into this vision of bones, a representation of our dried up inner selves, of our hopelessness, and the realities that had become their community, a community that was erased. After the second rebellion and the Babylonians came back, they destroyed everything. There was only 10% of the population that had once been left in Babylon. And Ezekiel knew this. And his hopelessness spread in this valley of dried up bones. And God says, sit there. And Ezekiel sits there. And God asks him this question, this unexpected question, do you think these bones can live? And Ezekiel, so readily obedient, says, if you say so. And God says, well, prophesy. Say it out loud. Say you believe. that these bones may live. And Ezekiel says the words, and the bones come back to life in this image, not of resurrection for one individual back from physical death, but of a resurrection of a dream. And from that point on, from this vision, from this dream, we see Ezekiel go into planning mode, go into talking about how all people will be made new, that people weren't capable of doing the right thing for God, but now they will be able to do that because God will change them. And we will build a temple, and here are the specifications. And this is who can be in the temple and how things will happen in the temple. He is type A. I don't know. I think so. And nothing that Jeremiah plans for Jerusalem ever comes true. And are his dreams wasted? Are his dreams in vain? Are his dreams foolishness? I imagine that what happened to Ezekiel's community, which is the same community as Jeremiah's, which is why I'm going to mix it up all day, I imagine that what happened to them is what we fear happening to us. That they actually are in this valley of dry bones, and we see the potential of the valley of dry bones, and that's enough for us. In this culture of scarcity, all we have to do is imagine that we might be there to put ourselves in that position. They had lost everything. Everything that formed their identity was gone. Their temple, their community, their rituals, they were being assimilated intentionally into another culture that was not their own. And Jeremiah, clinging to what he knows to be true, is enraged and shouting out and receives and falls into this valley, this vision of hopelessness, where God mirrors to him not only where he is, but where he might be. Brought back to life. Walked back in, awakened up in hope, in possibility. These two are our fears, that we might lose our temple, that we might lose our community scattered in a million directions. And COVID was just the reinforcement of that possibility. Churches have returned to 50% across the board everywhere of what they were when they were already declining before COVID. Our fears are not foreign to what Ezekiel and Jeremiah were going through, but they are also not our realities. And as we begin in stewardship, one of the thoughts that has been crossing my mind is where we put our energy to, what we're paying attention to, because what we're putting our energy into, what we're paying attention to, is where we will go. It is what will happen. And as a worrier, I will publicly confess that it is just as likely as we will end up in a valley of bones as it is that God will have these bones come alive in a new way. When I was at the land and we were going through COVID as a congregation 1.5 years old, I placed my intention and energy, and then my board's attention and energy, in coming up with a plan. A plan in case our funding went down. A plan in case we would have to walk closer to this valley of bones. And we spent meetings talking about it. It was a very good plan. I'm just going to, in my defense, it was a very lovely plan. But it was a plan that we never needed to use. It was a plan that I felt much more foolish for dragging a people through than if I had just dreamed that everything was going to be wonderful and lovely and that all of our visions would come true. We face foolishness on either end. And in our book that we're kind of bringing all of this dreaming from, this Adrienne Marie Brown book, She talks about how we instill change in systems through fractals, through this microcosm that we are all systems. Our body is a system of the cosmos. That this church is a fractal of the larger government, of our larger society. And so if we want to make change, what we're called to do is to change our own systems, to change our own relationships. Not necessarily the what we want to do, but the how we are doing it. And the hardest thing for me to do in the how is a dream. If I were in that valley of bones and God said to me, do you think these bones could live? I'm going to be honest, and I would be like, no, probably, like, what? No, that's insane. What was it about Ezekiel that's different from where I am? That he was so prepared to say, if you say so. He had lost everything, and I have lost nothing. In all the hardships in my life, I see the miracles. I am here. That is a miracle. The land is still there. That is really a miracle. Yesterday, I did a wedding at the land after heartache of losing 3 dear friends and doing 3 funerals in 6 months out there. All of the things that we had planned when I left are complete. It was a beautiful day for an outdoor wedding. That alone is a miracle. I have no reason to doubt God's presence. We are together in our beautiful temple. We have no reason to believe that we will be in the valley of dry bones. And yet our witness in this world is not reflective of that, yes, if you say so, but no, let's make sure that doesn't happen. I am going to need your help this stewardship season because I am not inclined to dream. I am not inclined to answer yes. I am very inclined to try to protect everybody and everything, to overfunction and be over-responsible, to think of each and everything that could possibly go wrong and make a plan for it. It's the way my brain is set up. But for me to put my energy and intention and attention into that is going to lead us into the very wrong direction. We are tired. We need church, but it can feel exhausting. One more thing. And so how do we create a community that allows us to sit in our own valley of dry bones, our own individual hopelessness and helplessness with all the things that have changed, with all the realities of what is changing out in the world, and rest? I never associated dreaming with rest before. I always associated it with work. When people would talk about the dreams that they would have, I would immediately panic because I didn't know how I was going to make that happen, and usually dreamers aren't the ones to make it happen. Ezekiel was never the one to make it happen. But the things that he dreamed didn't go away. They weave themselves into the future of the people that eventually were drawn together and then drawn apart, who experienced the witness of God's great blessings and who felt the pain of God's deep absence. But if we are to rest together, we are called to practice dreaming together. Not to move on the dreams and jump ahead and plan on those dreams, but to name the dreams, to dream big, and to think about the question of, if this dream came true, then what? The leader of a labor union movement talked about how, you keep telling me, he says to his people, that we need to get people here, but I need you to tell me what you want to do once they do. When our dreams come true, what will that change, and what will that do, and who will we be? These are the questions we're called to ask, the stewardship of dreams. The ability to dream and be okay with the fact that it's not always up to us what comes true. That God asks Ezekiel, "Do you think these bones can live?" And that is the ending part for him. Not, how will these bones live? Do you have a plan? Have you thought about this? Did you Google it yet? Did you ask Siri? No, just this. Just, do you think these bones can live? Do you think it's a possibility? And the first step to saying yes is to name the crazy, foolish things that we envision for our community together. The things that feel impossible, but no more impossible than dry bones coming to life. Amen.